Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ask a Kid Radio Show. Okay, so number one, I have to really contain myself this morning. I always have a lot on my mind. Yeah, I know that's like my phrase of what I always say. For many of you that have been following us on a journey, a faith journey, we just made another huge leap of faith. And so I just wanted to give an update and share those things with you guys just so you kind of know what's going on. Remember I had mentioned that God wanted me and my family to leave where we were, and that was going to mean we would cross state boundaries, and out of nowhere, it meant we had to sell our house, we had to get rid of a lot of things, and we had to get in position. And it's obvious that God is all up in this because we were able to accomplish what some people thought was impossible. With a really weird and etchy real estate market, it didn't even take us 3 days after putting a house on the market to have a solid offer. Well, for the most part, went smoothly. It doesn't mean that there weren't any bumps in the road, but what you will learn is, for people that are close to me, is that I don't talk about bumps in the road too much. I deal with them, and then I let them go. And the reason being is because if you talk about the problems and the issues, then you're never focused on the solutions and the blessings. So some things did pop up, but you know what? Who cares? And we got down to the very end. And we were supposed to close on our house on Friday. Got a call on Thursday saying that it wasn't going to be able to happen Friday. There wasn't a problem with the loan, but they just hadn't received all of the documents from the lender. And so we were sitting there because we were, me and our family, we were in position, everything packed, everything ready to go. And it was like, oh, my God, we already called the utility companies to change over the utilities for the other person. I mean, we had everything ready to go. And it was like, wow, that was kind of a major disappointment. But I am a little bit more seasoned in my walk today. So instead of getting the attitude, it was just kind of like, that's a downer. But everything happens for a reason. And then out of nowhere, it's like, okay, one of the things that I said from the beginning that God spoke to my spirit was be ready to move without hesitation. So our family stayed in a constant, whether that meant packing, job searching, whatever it was that it required. And I said, you know what, I have an 11th hour guy. And I bet you, if he wants to, I don't care what they said about them documents. Somebody could be working diligently, and first thing in the morning, they might get them together, and we might just have to change our closing time. Or something just could happen. So I told my family, I said, you know, I don't know what's going on. It looks like we're going to have to stay here until Monday. But let's continue to move because you never know what happens. And I believe that we can still move on Friday. Well, the bottom line is, and some people would say that what I'm going to say, it's not a good thing that it's a risk because the deal isn't done until the papers are signed. But our representative from the title company called and said, you know, I know your family was supposed to be moving. I know your husband's going to have a job he has to get to. It's fine. We just got to get the documents. If you're comfortable, we can do it, you know, via the Internet. I'll send you the docs, and you guys can go. Now, me and my spirit, I was like, yes, let's go. But, you know, I talk a lot about relationships, so it wasn't just about me. It was about my husband. But you know what? When I told him, he had the same surge in his spirit, and he was just like, okay. So we called and made sure that our reservation was good with the truck, and guess what, people? Yes, we got on the highway, and we have reached our destination. I guess, you know, I shared the testimony, number one, because you guys have been walking through this with me. You were there when I was given that bold statement of saying we're going to get an offer in 72 hours, and it happened. I'm sharing the testimony because even though I'm a nobody to many of you because you don't even really physically know me, some of you guys do, the point is you need to see that everyday so-called regular people are experiencing phenomenal things in God. You don't have to be a Creflo Dollar or a T.D. Jakes, and even if you're on a secular perspective, you don't have to be a Donald Trump or a Beyonce in order to have happiness and in order to have success. what it is that you have to truly have faith and believe and trust God. You have to make radical decisions. If you ain't willing to do something radical, radical's never going to happen to you. You know, so a lot of times in the kingdom, we want these phenomenal blessings, but we also want to sit in the complacency of the comfort of where we are. And my thing is I talk about a lot of things on the show, and I know some of you may be like, yeah, she's just so firm, she's just so adamant. But here's the thing. I'm never going to talk about something that I am not going to be about. So like I said, I didn't focus on the negatives, but yes, people, I need you to know that some of the people that we love the most did not support us in this decision. Some of the people we love the most made decisions and hurt our feelings and withdrew from us and didn't talk to us that much, or when they did say stuff, the answers were not exactly what we wanted to hear. It was a little bit disappointing because there were several job offers that my husband got as soon as he put his application and resume out there. However, we weren't in the city, and they were like, well, call us when you get there. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. But none of those things made a decision. We took the last of what we had. See, I want to make sure that you get this. We didn't come down here comfortably. I know that the house is going to close. But this is not my first go around when it comes to buying and selling a home. It ain't my second. And I know plenty of people in the real estate industry. It ain't a done deal until it's a done deal. So we don't have the comfort, for real, in the natural realm of saying it was a safe, a good, or positive thing to come to the city that God has shown us where he wants us to be. It would have been so much easier to say, you know what, we'll wait a couple days, you know, once Monday hits, we'll sign the paper, we'll know we have that check in our hand or that wire transfer, then we can go, we'll have this lump sum of money. People, we still got to find our place to live right now. You know, right now, hey, I'll put it out there. We're staying in an extended stay. Whatever it takes to get there, that's not that bad of a, it's not that big of a deal. Some of you out there are going to miss out on the opportunity to get what God wants you to have. And you know why? Because you're going to want everything to look perfect. Oh, well, you know, before you do this, you should have, you know, $20,000 in the bank. Or before you do this, you want to make sure you secure, you know, the place you're going to stay and you secure your job. And you're going to need to make sure you become know what the relocation program is about. You know, all of those things that make sense. But see, I don't know what God is doing. And I don't know why he's moving us. But he said from the beginning, be ready to move without hesitation. And because we were in the position that we were in, we were still able to move. And we've gotten blessed by many other people who do believe us, whether it was by contributions or by kind words and what helps of labor, whatever it is. So that's the update of saying, hey, we're here. And for those of you that are wondering why I never released that, there is a reason why God has not allowed me to do that as of yet. It's kind of like with Nehemiah when he went to go rebuild the wall. Even though God had given him that assignment, he had people with him. But if you read the scriptures, at one point he went and surveyed the area, but he told no one what he was doing or what it was about. So that's another thing, too, people. When you're making decisions, use wisdom. That it doesn't have anything to do with fear or stuff like that. Sometimes God just has you move a certain way when you're doing certain things. But the bottom line is we're here. We're here, and we're moving forward. And as the updates keep coming, I'm going to keep giving them to you and saying, hey, we secured the job. Hey, we secured the place. Hey, we secured this, that, and the other. God is awesome. If we come here, the rest of it is what he's going to do for us. So, beyond the update, what did I want to discuss with you all today? You know what? You guys know how I am. Sometimes you need a pen and a pad. You need a pen and a pad so you can keep up with me and write down all of these scriptures because I may or may not read them, and you know I like you to do your homework and go back and read them and make sure they're okay. But this time, I just want to talk to you. I had a very detailed conversation with a sister, and when we were talking, I said, you know what, I need to discuss this on the radio show. How many of you have been told you have a call on your life? And how many of you know what that means? I know for years, I mean, I was a little bitty girl. I'll never forget Sister Ruth used to say, this is going to be an amazing woman of God. She has an anointing on her life. Lord, the Lord has truly called her. Sister Ruth would do that all the time. She'd always be anointing my head with oil, praying over me, speaking in tongues. I never know what that meant. Everywhere I would go throughout my life, people said, you know, you got a call in your life. I don't know why you're doing this or doing that. Because for those of you that listen to me, I told you I had a pretty rough path. I did a lot of different things. And it meant nothing to me. Then in around 2002, I had a phenomenal mentor. It was a cousin of mine named Shelton, who I didn't know. He wasn't phenomenal to me then. We barely knew each other. I had only met him one time because of a funeral in Chicago. But for whatever reason, God was in the middle of doing something. And he told me, he was like, girl, he said, I see you. You are in it. You are an ambassador for Christ. But there was something different for the first time in my life. There was a surge in my spirit and conviction. And for the first time, I feel just a slight piece of guilt because I'm not whatever this great thing is that God wants me to do. I know my life ain't reflecting nothing godly. It's just reflecting August. You know, it's whatever it is that she wants to do. But after he told me that, I was going on a journey, my own journey, because I wanted to get in position for whatever this call was supposed to be. So I read, I studied, I prayed, I got in church, and then I started trying to put pieces to the puzzle together on my own. So I'm like, okay, I got a call on my life. What am I good at? And what I realized is I'm very good with young people. And what ended up happening is every single church that I went to, I ended up being a part of the youth ministry without even asking for it. And I was over Christmas programs, Easter programs. I taught Sunday schools. I led youth groups. I was over praise dancing. I was always so active doing something that could pertain to youth. And sometimes I did stuff that just pertained to adults. I taught the elders at my grandmother's church for vocational Bible school. You know, I've done a plethora of different things in the church. But the reason why I always did these things was because people kept on telling me I had a call on my life. And since I had a surge in my spirit with absolutely no understanding, I was like, well, then that means that I need to serve. I need to get active, and I need to get involved in the church. Well, what ended up happening with that is a series of disappointments. And this isn't everybody's story, but just follow me, because if it isn't yours, someone close to you will understand what I'm saying. It seemed like I'm the kind of person, I'm all in. I am definitely all in. Trust me, after a drive as long as it was to get where we at, I'm here in the morning on Monday, I could have been like, I got an excuse to cancel the show. I'm all in. If I got a commitment, I'm sticking to it. Well, that's how I am with ministry. So I didn't want to half-step with anything I did. If there was a lack financially, I want to contribute. If somebody else couldn't do it, you know, I had superhero mentality. If I got to do A through Z to cross every dot, you know, cross every T and dot every I, I would do it. And all kind of weird things would happen. I had to deal with competition. Nobody wanted to start the youth ministry in one of the churches that I was in. I got it going, and then all of a sudden, the pastor wants to bring in his wife's sister, you know, to take over it. I have people that, you know, even though their kids were bad and unruly, since I'm a little bit more militant, I got them whipped into shape, and they function in church, and they behave better than they ever had before, but because they didn't like the fact that when that abrasiveness hit the wrong parent, who was like, you can't do my son like that because she was close to the pastor, you know, things that I would do would get shut down. I'm like, I've dealt with all kinds of stuff, people with upper hands saying what I can and I can't do, you know, people not being supportive, and I would still try to serve. I got beat up bad by the church to the point that I left several churches, some without saying stuff to the pastor, got a little bit older. Then some of them I did start, you know, departing in peace. But I found myself not wanting to serve anymore. I found myself not wanting to do anything. And then when I was going to not go to church, or even if I was going to church but I wasn't actively participating, what I found was I felt like I wasn't living out to my fullest potential, because God did say I had a call on my life. But what am I doing that looks like a call? So now that I'm grown up, so to speak, in the spiritual realm, I'm a whole new person. I understand that all of those things, they weren't bad, but it has nothing to do with being called to the ministry. Number one, let me just put this out there. In Mark chapter 16, at the very end, Jesus said, go ye therefore to all the nations, to all the creatures, and to minister the gospel. And he said, make disciples out of disciples. He said, go. Yeah, he was talking to the disciples, but he was telling the disciples, trust and transform anybody that you can, and then have them to trust and conform anybody that they can, because Jesus said, well, these signs will follow them that believe. People are either going to accept it and be saved, or they're going to not accept it and not be saved. Listen, first and foremost, everybody has a call on their life. Let me repeat. Everybody has a call on their life. Everybody is expected to do ministry. There are no exceptions to the rule. Jesus is not this little cute little thing you have that you put in a safe deposit box and you hold it and you keep it to yourself. It's something that you're supposed to share. The problem with church is it's become so carnally minded, yes, and so strategic that we have our own little things that we do. We have every anniversary and celebration known to man for every organization and auxiliary in the church. We have what we believe to be youth summer camps and all of these different things. And I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong or bad, but you will find in certain churches that it becomes about the auxiliary and not about the ministry. Because it's like, okay, we have the food pantry, and then you start looking at statistics and how many people did we reach today and this month, and how many families did we serve? You know what, it's been a long time since we've did a benefit for this or that, or we need to earn some money, so we should do this. And it's like, slow down. Ministry opportunities are around you every single day, all the time. The question is, are you taking the opportunities, and do you realize that they mean just as much, if not more, than being a part of the youth group? I was always looked at churches now for the last several years because I don't jump on a bandwagon of every program and every event that everybody's having. And you know why? Because I have enough ministry to do on my own. People will hear me say that I'm a minister of God, but then they're looking at my resume because they want to see what I'm doing. Well, you guess what? You can't see what I'm doing. You want me to give you, let me give you some examples. And I promise you, these are ministries. When I, for those of you that have followed me, you know that in December, on Christmas Day, I took in a young lady that was 18 years old with a very bad, exhausting, painful lifestyle, and gave her an opportunity. I studied the word with her in the morning before she went to school. I prayed with her. On a practical level, I helped her with schoolwork to try to get herself ready for college. And I'm saying I, my husband is included, but, you know, because I'm doing the show, it's a lot of little eyes coming out. But trust me, when I'm talking, we want flesh, so it's us, you know. But I embraced her. And it wasn't just giving her a place to live so she got a room and she could eat, she'd go about her business. I have a newborn baby. I have a 9-year-old that I was homeschooling. I have a whole husband, and I have a daughter in college. I have plenty to keep me exhausted. I took that child in, and not one time did I ever discriminate against her like she was not a part of the family. Things didn't exactly work out, and she left. And, you know, I hate that things happen the way that they did, but she did call back and apologize to me, like, shortly before we left. But anyway, I just threw that piece in there. But the bottom line is that was ministry. Because she would ask me questions like, wow, so when you married Poppy, because that's what she called him, dad, in Spanish, did you know he was the one? Or she would ask questions because, see, some people think that my relationship with my husband is not real. But people that have really been around us, you know, there's some things that you just can't face, but still you don't really know anybody until you live with them. So she got to see the romantic side and the team player, the lack of arguments, or when there was a conflict, how we came to resolutions. We didn't let the sun go down on our wrath. She got an opportunity to see the word alive, Okay, see, people can read the word to you all day long, but she got to see the word living. And I talked to her about it, and I was like, baby, see, I want you to know that when you get ready to get in that position to have a man in your life, then that is what, this is what you're looking for. Relationships don't have to be dysfunctional. That was ministry to her. The conversations that we had, the issues that she was having in school, the pain she was having over a deceased mother, people using her for her money, all of those different things, that was ministry, and that was 24 hours a day because I got to think about her all the time. That just because I wasn't over the youth ministry or our big brother or sister's club and doing something else, that doesn't mean that what I did was any less. Because I didn't go start an organization, I can't say that I have 3,000 kids up under me and it's growing, doesn't mean that I'm not in ministry, ministry at its core. Because regardless of how everything went down, that girl got an opportunity to see the reality of the life that God has called his people to go to. You don't like my example? You say, August, that's just one person. Well, who was Ruth? Ruth only ministered, ministry means to serve. Ruth only served Naomi. Her kids, her husband died. But she still followed her mother-in-law. And she was like, you don't have to do anything. I'll go out there. I will work. I will glean the field. And Ruth is the one that got the blessing. Ruth is the one that got Boaz. Ruth is the one that got the son. Ruth is the one that they got those things, so you can't tell me that ministry has to be a whole lot of people following up under you. Matter of fact, was not Noah a minister? God believed in him to restart the world. Who followed him other than just his family? That's what's wrong with some of you guys. You cannot move in any ministry because you don't realize that the first ministry is at home. I have never and never will, thank you, Jesus, by the grace of God, never put the church over my family, even when I was a single mother. If there wasn't a balance between what was going on at home, then it wasn't going on in church. And what I'm saying, people use the phrase charity begins at home, but that's scriptural. The Bible says that a man, a leader, a bishop, a deacon, so that's interchangeable for sexes, whether it's female or male, if you can't have rule over your own house, if you can't have your own house together, then you don't have no business worshiping, I mean leading in the house of God. There's another scripture that says that a man that won't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. You worse than an unbeliever. So we really sometimes need to take it very seriously how important it is just to serve in the home. Because people get to see what the world looks like. Now here's a killer example for you. God had given me a ministry. Yeah, given me the ministry as a kid years ago, and it started in my basement. I would just speak to teens. Sometimes it would literally be just me and my daughter, Kamaria. Sometimes it would be up to about 8 youth. And they would come in the basement, and we would talk about the stuff that they didn't necessarily want to talk about with their parents, or even if they did, maybe their parents wouldn't say. They just needed answers. So we dug deep, whatever it was, homosexuality, drugs, sex, defending your faith, not being comfortable in your own skin, liking yourself, whatever. It didn't matter. But I held on to the title of As a Kid because I knew that that was the name of the ministry that God had given me. So anything that was done via through me, I always put the tag of As a Kid on it. Well, I believe it was 2011. I don't know why the memory of the year is failing me. That was when the tornado, for the first time, hit St. Louis and its county in ways that it never had done before. We're talking about Bridgeton, Berkeley. I mean, house is just flat. And this happened the Friday before Easter. It wasn't the Friday, it was a Saturday. I'm sorry. I don't know why my memory is jet lagged. The point is it was within a day or two of when Easter happened. And this is me. If you don't like what I'm saying, that's fine. I always put my tell y'all when I put my last report on there. When I found out about that, I'm like, why the hotline ain't going? Why the churches ain't calling and saying service is canceled? We need to go take care of these people. Well, my thing is, I had to battle in my mind, people. My daughter had a part in the Easter play. I don't even do Easter plays because Easter ain't got nothing to do with Jesus and resurrection. You can call it Resurrection Sunday. You can call it whatever you want to. Don't either one of them have nothing to do. One day I just may break down what it really means to celebrate pagan holidays and try to give them a godly twist, but that ain't this show. Okay, I added that in. So anyway, my daughter had a very, she had the second leading role in an East, and I talked to my husband. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive. We ain't showing Jesus is alive when there's people out there suffering and hurting and we sitting in the comfort of a building enjoying a show and getting some eggs and some grass and some candy. What in the world is this? I said, you know what? We need to go see what we can do. Let's take KK to this church. As soon as she finishes with that, she coming off the stage, changing the clothes. They ain't doing nothing extra. Let's get up out of here. And at that time, we had just moved in. Yeah, it was 2011 because we moved into our house in December 2010. We were still transitioning with becoming new homeowners. We didn't really have money like that. And I was like, well, what you want to do, babe? We need to do something. It wasn't even really in the budget. But we went by one of the community centers where they had people at, and we said, what are some specific things that people ask for? We got that list. And we took our kids with us. They need to see ministry in motion. We went out to Walmart. We were buying, you know, underwear, all kind of stuff. And then we took it back to the shelter. And I was sitting there, and I was like, Maryland Heights Community Center. I was sitting there like, babe, I don't feel right. I'm like, at the end of the day, natural disaster or no natural disaster, these people still got to work. They got to go to school. They got to sit down with government agencies. They got to try to get assistance. And I'm like, you know what? Are you going to be comfortable with me? I'm gonna talk to somebody, and I want to see if I can come down here and do these weights there. Because, I mean, at this point, they got hit by a tornado. They don't have no foam. They don't have no brush. They don't have anything. I ended up talking to the lady at the front desk, and she said, yeah. And because they didn't have any events going down, their large kitchen area was open. And I went down there for 3 days until somebody in upper management shut it down. But for 3 days in a row, all day, all evening, I did those women's hair for free. Now, listen to me. I am not giving this example because I'm looking for any form of kudos. I'm trying to let you all see what ministry looks like. So that meant that I brought the spritz in the jail. For some of the young ladies, because I looked at them, I was like, what you think about this hairstyle? Yes, that means that I bought the little curly weave. I'm the one with the clippers and the cleaner and with shaving and cutting down. And, of course, depending on some of the people, I was like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of the people, I just said encouraging words. You meet people where they at. But my thing is, as a cosmetologist and as a woman, I know that when we have the opportunity to have our hair done, even when we're at our lowest, to just have someone touch us, to pamper us, to cater to us, it means so much. And there were a few, very few men in those shelters, but it was so that we're in the Maryland Heights Community Center, excuse me, because I keep saying shelter. A lot of them were transported from shelters, though, and they came and got their hair done, too. Most of them were single women with their kids. And the tears that were cried and the moments that were shared were phenomenal. And even when we finished, I remember on one of the days in particular when my husband actually had to drop me off and pick me back up, we stayed. They were like, well, we have the box meals here. Do you all want one? And I'm like, well, is it enough? And they were like, yeah, we have an abundance. And so my husband and my kids is like, you know what, these people need companionship. They, you know, they still need more than we sent money to some place and gave a donation. See, those are not the kind of things that touch people. I saw the transformation with these people. And some of these people, they kept in contact with me. And let me tell you something. That scripture that says that when God will open up the windows and pour out a blessing that, you know, you can't receive it, or when he says that, you know, giving it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. People, like I told you before, let's get off of the whole thing about thinking about tithing and thinking money. Think about your time and think about your heart. When you decide to do something that God has called you to do, it's so radical. My whole basement, I had a 1,500 square feet basement, predominantly all finished, and even the unfinished side was still immaculate. Walls painted the whole nine. People that know me, they know that my whole basement began to look like the Salvation Army. I had clothes for days. I had pots. I had pans. I had towels. I had comforters, sheets, Some of the people went out and bought things. Some of the people from the church gave me money. I was collecting money. I was collecting clothes. I was collecting furniture. I had so much stuff. I was over my head and like, oh, my God. I was like, Lord, am I supposed to be trying to find a building and open up my own little Salvation Army like type place? Because, I mean, I didn't expect this much stuff. And when I talk, this is how good God is. The majority of the people that I got the stuff from, they brought it to me already pre-washed and ironed. Because I talked to people and I said, you know what, when I give, I have a passion for giving to be done right. And one of the things that I did not like when I was down at this shelter is that people use a time of catastrophe as a way to clean out their house. Now, that's okay if you clean it out decent and in order, but people was just bringing trash bags down there. Some of the clothes were totally, the socks still had dirt on the bottom of them. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know them people that give away stuff that should have been thrown away, and that annoyed the crap out of me. I took all, I love the same change. Remember, I told you our money was a little minuscule at that time. We were moving out of faith. I took all my change and grabbed all my quarters. Every bit of clothing that was not already clean or I couldn't necessarily trust the caliber of the person to have given it to me in a decent way because maybe it came through a second part or third party. I took those clothes to the laundromat. I'm talking about over $20 worth of laundry and washed and dried and ironed and or folded those clothes because clothes look different when they're ironed. I gave people stuff on hangers because I wanted you to feel like somebody didn't want to just give you anything, that these people deserve the best. And then from there, I gave people, some people, I never gave anybody money, but I did, what do you need? I went and bought it and went from there, paid for hotel room. And God was able to use me, but it was literally just for that season. But I had so much stuff that look at what God did. So Mother's Day Easter that year was in April. So Mother's Day was just a couple of weekends away. I ended up getting an email from my father-in-law saying, I don't know if with all the stuff you had that you received, if you have enough to help someone else. A woman and her two children, their apartment caught on fire and everything got burned up. And I was like, oh, my God. So I sat down there and I said, okay, tell me where I need to, what shelter I need to go to. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me out. And I had just gotten another bundle of contributions and I was looking, I was giving the sizes and everything. And to this day, I still have the letter. I wish that if I wasn't in such a transition, I could get to my file cabinet. I would have loved to have read this letter to you all, but it's something that I'll hold to me because it was a confirmation. Even the more, I didn't really need any more confirmation, but still, this was precious. The woman, since she was in a shelter, and you have to, and it was a private shelter where it had security. It was a non-disclosed one. You don't have the address or anything. So I had to fill out paperwork saying who I was and show them my ID. Well, evidently, she felt so moved by what was given to her. And she was like, please, I just want to write a letter to this lady. Can I have her address? And she mailed me a letter that basically said, you know what, this is how I know that God is real. Because every item that you gave me, I felt like it was me. You had to have known me. The Holy Spirit had to have led you because you gave me the style of clothes that I would like to wear, my favorite, you know, my colors and things for my kids, the kind of things that we would have wanted. And I remember sitting there crying because I had never seen or talked to the lady. God was the one who just let me know. And, you know, in naivety, if I didn't know any better, that's why when I picked up this shirt, I was like, it'll fit, but no. We'll pick up with this one. Yeah, I'm going to give it to her. As if I was buying something for my daughter. You know, I know her style. But this woman wrote. And she was so moved, and I remember sitting there crying when I read the letter because I'm like, man, it don't always have to be this, you know, experience where you hear the thunder crack and God has said and you and this and that. You know, sometimes you just need to just trust and flow and just move. That's what this whole walk equals up to. Quit looking for something, you know, where you're going to be in a mountaintop and clouds are going to be submerging you like Moses. It's just when you're still and you move and you just are comfortable with moving and you have freedom, God will lead you. That's ministry, people. No, I didn't then become the head of the clothes, such and such and such thing, or my bobber at church and all of that stuff. I just took my time. Sometimes events would happen in churches and I would give them clothes. I would find out down in certain shelters that just period in random spots, I would give them stuff. I'd find out about other families. And then finally, one day after about a year or so, my basement was completely empty. That was ministry. Okay? But don't sit here and say, okay, I'm called to work with the youth, so that means in order for me to be equipped and qualified, that means I have to be on the youth ministry at the church. Don't think it means that you have to start an organization and that you need to go get go do a 501c and all of this stuff so that you can see about getting funding. No, just walk in who you are. The way that you treat people, the way that you embrace them at the heart of their needs, that's ministry. That means more for people, for them to know who God is, because a lot of people don't even know who the organizations are. All they know is, girl, I heard if you need something, you can go down to this church. They don't have you fill out a form or something, but they'll give you something. And they fill out some papers, they walk away, they don't know nobody, and don't know nobody know them. There's nothing personal about that. See, the people back when they were doing the Church of Acts, when they were doing the church in the book of Acts, yeah, they had people coming to their churches by the thousands, but Peter and them, they weren't staying it. They were mobile. They didn't just say, okay, the church is growing by the thousands daily. One scripture says 3,000, another scripture says 5,000. You know, some people say, see, that show you right there that there were mega churches. When it says adding to the church, that meant adding to the body. Yes, the church was specifically growing, but we're talking about to the body of Christ. We are the church. Because Peter and them, when they did ministry, they went from house to house. Remember at one point when they was locked up, when they got out of jail, they was able to go knock on somebody's door because they was praying in a house. Church was outside of an actual church building. It wasn't confined to being just that one little thing. It was what they did outside of those doors. Peter was sent on missions. Remember when he was sent to Cornelius to go on a journey to go meet somebody else? Paul was on the road to Damascus, and every time you turned around, he's like, okay, hopefully I can see you here, and then I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to go over there. That's why he was writing letters to so many different churches. He wasn't a pastor over all of the churches. He just had impacts of spreading the gospel over all of these different areas of land. So I don't know what God has called you to. You may be the one that's the counselor on your job. I learned a long time ago that as a hairstylist, that's when I realized that was one of my primary points of ministry. Every day, all day, one client, two clients, or 50 clients, women be needing some help, okay? That was ministry. Another thing that I used to do is when I was running to women with financial issues, even if they didn't want to admit they had a financial issue, but if the Lord would let me see that it was worse than what I'm like, hey, you can get your hair done for free. And they used to blow their minds, because who would do that? I'm like, look, this is what I do. There is always at least one person per week that's at least going to get their hair done for me by free. That is just something that God has given to me, and I'm going to do it until the end, because you still need to feel beautiful whether you can afford it or not. Have this ministry. And I have a bunch of other different examples. I don't even really want to sit here and give a bunch of them, because I don't want to make it seem like, not saying that that's what you guys are thinking, but I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that there's something in me that has become very comfortable with realizing that we need to get out of the traditional sense of ministry. And now with technology being the way that it is, hey, this is ministry right now. Sitting down and taking the time to talk to individuals that I may never see. But because of the kind of responses and the feedback that I get, I know that it's impacting somebody. If God blesses me and I end up on a radio show, that's great. If he doesn't and I do this, you know, for God knows how long, and it's only a couple of hundred people instead of hundreds of thousands, I don't care. It's not about the size. It's about the heart. You know, so if you all have been battling with that concept of, I know I have a call on my life, I know I have a job to do for the Lord, and then sitting there trying to figure out how does that fit in into a church, you might kill yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every church, do you hear me? And I can't count them all. Every church that I've went to since 2002, I have let every single pastor know that not only do I know that I've been told that I have a call on my life, I know that I have a call on my life. And eventually, my conversations with different pastors, it became more clear. I was like, the Lord has called me to do this, to do that. And do you know, literally, not one pastor at any church that I've ever been to has said, let me take you up under my wing. This is a school that you should go to. Let me help you out with this. You know, they always sitting back, and I've even heard some of them basically in so many words say, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people tell me that they call to the ministry. They say that today, but then, you know, tomorrow they don't do nothing. Well, I was very diligent, and I did stuff on my own. They knew, my pastors knew what was going on with me with the different ministries and stuff that I was helping out people with, and it wasn't even because I told them. They still didn't move. They were more content dealing with the people in their church that every 5 minutes they got an event going on, but then they got women cat fighting. They were more immersed into that than saying, wait a minute, you know what? You must really have passion and zeal for the Lord, because in spite of everything, this is what you're doing. So that's another thing, too. Quit thinking that, I'm not saying that you're supposed to deliberately be a renegade and say you're going to do something on your own, because I'm not doing something on my own. I'm just not doing it in a traditional sense. But if you're waiting for a pastor to co-sign who you are, what you're supposed to do, look, read John chapter 10. There's only one good shepherd. And the shepherd that you got, no matter how good they may be, they may fail you. They ain't the good, good shepherd. They may fail you in not seeing who you are and what God has called you to be. God put my cousin Shelton in my life. The man was, he was in Freeport, Illinois, and then ended up being somewhere in Mississippi, okay? We weren't nowhere near each other, and that man taught me more and ministered to me more than anybody else. He inspired me more and helped change me in my walk, and he was at a distance. I received the gift of speaking in tongues by doing it over the phone with this dude. He taught me about fasting. A local pastor didn't teach me that. There are so many things I know about the gospel because God gave me someone to lead me and to give me help, and I never even lost. I can count on one hand how many times I've seen the man's face. And now God is so funny, after over 10 years of walking this walk to walk in my ministry, we probably going to be in the same city. And I'm laughing because it's an inside thing, but my grandma like, y'all going to be the start of the church down there. I don't know what me and my cousin going to do, but both of us in the same place at the same time, it might end up being like fire. I mean, it might be hot up in here in a good way. So just relax and lighten up. Get out of things, get out of your natural mind and realize that who you are is the ministry of the gospel. Grow and embrace who you are and become better at it. It's your smile. It's the way you talk. It's the fact that your attitude don't rip people to shreds. It's that little time to talk to that child or to hold their hand or to help that single mama out by babysitting a couple of nights a week, by getting up early because somebody's car is broken down and taking them where they need to go. Ministry is so many other things. People need help. That's why people ain't running to the church. They're tired of the same old, same old. They need somebody to understand the situation that they in ain't necessarily because they was bad people, they jacked up, or they made bad decisions. It's just because they in a rough patch right now, and it's your opportunity to help them get out of their patch and let people see how God's favor ain't fair and how he can turn some stuff around. So, as usual, I know I'm motor mouth. I said a lot. I hope that I've helped some people get a little bit more freedom and giving you something to think about and pray about. You know I'm always looking for feedback. You know, please, somebody push the button one. Say something. Even if you disagree with me, and I may be adamant, we might go back and forth. I don't care. You know, but if you have a question, if you have a comment, bring it. Oh, we got two. All right, we're going to go with the first one. Hello,
but
someone,
I wanted
you're
to
on the air?
Hello, how are you? I wanted to agree with you that sometimes it takes just one person and different things to help people get to where they're trying to go to, because I've been knowing you all your life, and it's almost like a return verse, because I'm actually your auntie, so I'm supposed to teach you, but in reality, lately you've been giving me a lot of things that I need to hear. So it's not, like you said, just somebody in a pulpit ministering to you or speaking to you in your life. You know, it's a situation I'm going through that I had questions about, but God is so good that he gave the answer to you when you gave it to me today. So I just truly appreciate God for that. And you.
I love you too. Well, praise God. We definitely want to realize that too. I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm going to make this point, and I'm going to make sure that I take the next caller. Get up out of your box. And quit thinking that the person that's going to help you also necessarily has to be this older, wiser person. Because, see, my cousin Shelton, he's younger than me. And he is to this day and always will be one of my most blessed mentors. So that's why I say get out of the natural mind and don't let the carnal lead you. Let the spirit lead you, because everything that you need is right there. And people, if God is leading you to help someone older than you, trust me, he's already prepared their hearts to receive. And you know what ends up happening? When you develop those relationships, you help each other, because that's what's happening with me and my aunt. I'm still growing and being blessed by certain things that she says to me when we have our conversations. So it's reciprocated. It's not just one way. It's two ways. So, but I'm going to stop, because I love it when you all make comments and I have someone else. So, caller, you are on the air.
Mm-hmm. This is your sister in the Lord, Azarina. And so I just want to say, girl, what you spoke about is amazing. You know, it really is. And I'm mad because I didn't catch you before you left. But I'm thankful that you and the family made it there safe and sound. Also, speaking about what you spoke about, struggling with this church, and should I leave this church? And I went to this particular church that me and the family was going to, kind of mega, and my daughter kept prompting me to audition for the choir or the praise team. And I do know God has called me to minister in music. And so I did that, and nothing happened after that, and I got discouraged. And I'm like, okay, God, you told me this, but see, the church that I want to leave because of other situations and that I feel like my growth process there is ended will probably have me to minister at the drop of a dime. So you just speaking this, what you spoke today, just brought some clarity to my situation, and I love you, girl, very much, and I know I'll talk to you, you know, again.
Yes, you will, as soon as possible. Well, praise God. We definitely like it when people can get clarity. I didn't know if there was anybody else. Let's see. Any more? Any takers? We always looking for some comments. Okay. It looks like that's all that we have for today. Bottom line is, let God lead you. Oh, did we get another one? Hold up. I'm trying to double check. All right, Paula, did you have one more comment?
I have one more comment.
The
young lady just got to speaking about her ministry in praise dancing. Can you get us in contact with each other? I probably need to speak with her.
Yeah, I'm sure she won't mind, but I will text her your name and your number and let her know that you guys need to talk and go from there. I got it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And once again, we'll let God do whatever he's going to do. But that doesn't, whatever choice you end up making, Rena, at the end of the day, your ministry may go beyond boundaries that you can't even understand. And it doesn't necessarily, which I know you already have, but it doesn't necessarily have to be at a specific church. to what you bring to people through the gift that he's given you, you may be getting called from church to church to church. See, some of them other churches might be like, okay, well, who is your pastor and who is your leader and who's done that, because they want to go through formalities. But people that know and understand the move of the Holy Spirit will be like, you bless us. Come here and dance. Come here and minister. Because the gift that he's giving you, it is beyond the wall. So, people, I am excited for those of you that got the update. You know, keep me and my family in prayer. We are on phase two of the move. We know God is going to open the door and do some things. So I'm making bold moves. I'm walking what I'm talking, because I want it to be known that it can be done to everyday, ordinary, regular people. The promises of God are yes and amen. Not yes to the rich, not yes to the famous, not yes to the ones who know the most scriptures, not yes to the ones who've been in church the longest. It's just yes and amen. So if he's giving you a promise, you hold on to it and you expect to receive it, and you move radically and have the kind of faith that puts you in a position for God to bless you. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that the words that have been spoken today, that they have truly, truly impacted the minds and hearts of all of the listeners, and I mean all of those that are to come throughout the weeks and months by going back and listening in the archives, that there is a move in the body of Christ to begin to minister in ways that they never had before, so that the blessing can be bestowed upon other people, so the conversion of the non-believer can truly begin to see the heart of the church and not a roll call. God, you are in control. Continue to lead us and guide us in all of our decisions. We thank you and praise you for being God on the throne, for being the Savior of our hearts, and for being the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. We thank you in Jesus' name. I cannot wait to hear from you all next week. We'll be live again. God bless and thank you. Love you. Bye, everyone.